Blog Talk Radio.
Comenzaré donde había terminado y te amaré como nunca había amado, porque al fin me he dado cuenta que sin ti la vida no es la misma, no hay comprensión, no hay esa llama, esa pasión que en ti se encuentra. Y fueron muchos los bellos momentos, y fueron muchas las noches de fuego, y es por eso que hoy vuelvo a ti, dime que sí, no te arrepentirás. Otra noche caliente que se derrama, no hay esa llama, esa pasión que en ti se encuentra. Y fueron muchos los bellos momentos, y fueron muchas las noches de fuego, y es por eso que hoy vuelvo a ti, dime que sí, no te arrepentirás. Otra noche caliente que se derrama, otra noche caliente llena de amor para los dos, otra noche caliente tibio verano, otra noche caliente llena de amor para los dos.
Noche caliente, me abrazo tu cuerpo, me arropa tu fuego, me quema tu beso.
Lentamente voy quitando este manto de luna que arropa tu piel, y voy tejiendo a fuego lento cada rincón de tu cuerpo con mi desnudez.
Noche caliente, me abrazo tu cuerpo, me arropa tu fuego, me quema tu.
En esta noche ya se derrama todo un manantial de pasión, un concierto de caricia, un universo lleno de amor.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show. I'm Beverly, and we have Eddie Rodriguez with us tonight. And we're listening to the legends of salsa music from the past to the present. Eddie, thanks for joining me tonight. Good to have you back with us. Hold on, I might be having some technical difficulties here. We are live. Okay, hold on. Let me put some music on again. Let me work this out here. We're coming live to you. This is the Truth to Power show. And we're going to get into some salsa music here for the next hour with Eddie Rodriguez. And let's see. Hold on. Let me work this little tech going on here. Let me work this out here. Hold on a minute. And the call-in number is 323-642-1586. If you would like to talk, have a question or a comment for Eddie Rodriguez. Okay, give me a minute to work this out. Let me see if I can get him up here.
Cuando me piden que le toque en rumba, como yo toco, dicen que todos los rumberos de hoy por ahí ya no caminan, que no suenan como hay que sonar, que tienen la sangre fría, que no le ponen a los cueros el corazón. Piden que le toque rumba, se vuelven locos, y cuando suena mi recio tumba, le tiembla el alma. Piden que le toque rumba, se vuelven locos.
Stop.
Okay. Ray.
Hello, Beverly.
Oh, no, shoot. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Eddie Rodriguez.
Beverly D.
Okay.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you tonight on your show, Truth to Power, every Thursday from 9 to 11, focusing on and spotlighting and highlighting Latin music legends, past and present. Tonight we're going to spotlight our dear departed friend, arranger, producer, band leader, percussionist, vibraphonist, called the Quincy Jones of Latin music during his day, Mr. Luis Ramirez. Rest in peace. A wonderful, talented Puerto Rican from New York who put his stamp on the new era of salsa music in the 80s. Before that, he was, you know, performing with people like Tito Rodriguez, who was a hot singer who was international, actually, at the time. And I want to read a little bit of his bio down the line, but we heard him with two of his compositions, Otra Noche Caliente and Llegó La Rumba. These compositions are available on YouTube. The spelling of his name is Louis, L-O-U-I-E, last name Ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z. And on lead vocals is Ray De La Paz, another Puerto Rican from New York, an incredible singer, has that voice smooth, and he's a charismatic gentleman, and it's a pleasure to be with you tonight to put a spotlight on this music that will probably not be heard anywhere else except on your show.
Oh, that's great. And kind of tell the people, I'm switching computers here because dealing with this technical difficulty. But while I'm doing that, can you kind of tell the people who you are and your role in the music industry?
Well, my role in the music industry started with my first concert as a producer back in 1975. I was in the Bronx. I was, before I did this concert, I was actually into the sounds of Grover Washington Jr. and Stevie Wonder and songs in the Key of Life and the Ohio Players. And, of course, I came from that Motown era. And the first concert that I produced, the salsa concert I produced, I realized that this is my calling. I was able to meet in 1975 the late salsa music empresario, Mr. Ralph Mercado, may he rest in peace, and I booked a group called Típica 73. There was the hottest group in New York at the time. And I was the president of the Veterans Association at Bronx Community College. And we did a fundraiser. And not too long after that, I started doing a college night at a nightclub called the Hipocampo. And after one experience, seeing a bass player plug in his amp and almost get electrocuted, I decided that that was a dangerous job, and not too long after that, I moved to San Francisco, and I did my first show in San Francisco with one of the legends of salsa music, of Latin jazz music by the name of Cal Jader, and that's pretty much where I started in San Francisco, and I met during that time and the late Tito Puente in 1979, and I was drawn to the Latin jazz movement. Tito was just starting to tour with his new group, the Latin Jazz, Tito Puente and Latin Jazz Ensemble. And I became friends with Tito and his road manager. And since from 1979 until 2020, 1999 actually, I became Tito Puente's representative and was managing him for the label, for Ralph Mercado Presents. Between all that time, I learned how to build artist careers. Mark Anthony is one of them. La India is one of them. And I was able to work with Tito Puente throughout the years, presenting him in concerts and working with the queen of Latin music, Celly Cruz. What I'm doing now, I can tell you a lot of things that I've done in the past. I've switched from Latin tropical in the 2020s. Well, not in 2020s, in the 2000s, and produced sold-out concerts at Madison Square Garden with the Univision Radio Network, presenting all of the top Latin urban artists at the time. They still were just kind of coming up. And now these artists that I presented back then, two sold-out shows, one in 2005 and one in 2006, they are superstars today.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was working with a group out of Los Angeles. I moved, relocated from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and I started working with a television production company called Bravissimo, and we were taping live concerts of Latin music, salsa music, and Mexican regional music and pop music, and hosted by English-speaking person. So in other words, it was on the ABC network, an English language television network. And we had an English language host, and the interviews were in English, but the music was in Spanish. So that gave me a different outlook on what direction I was going to go in my life. And I ended up at one point doing something with new technology. I produced a streaming event with the incredible Mariah Carey live in Las Vegas. Mm. That was another learning curve for me, because I had to learn about technology, and we had to pre-produce the show and before we streamed it. And we've charged $10 per stream. And it was quite an experience, and all the things I've done in the past, I'm bringing to the table today, developing new artists, and I'm here in Puerto Rico right now, but there's some things happening in the U.S. and that I'm involved with that have to do with another area of my expertise, which is the international music industry. Dealing with licensing, dealing with marketing, dealing with sales, dealing with distribution, dealing with concert tours, dealing with publishing deals, endorsement deals, and things that have to do with creating a brand. We look at today an artist's name, likeness, and image, and his voice or her voice.
Mm-hmm.
As a brand, there's a consumer market. Out of the 500 million Spanish-speaking people on the planet, there is a music consumers that are drawn and support this type of music that I've been promoting all my life and working with, which is tropical Latin music. And now I'm interested in doing some things with music that's coming out of Africa, which has a very, very, I can tell you that there is a frequency there that drives me, and I just love it, which is called Afrobeat. That's becoming popular. As you know, the trap music that was created in Atlanta is now very popular in the Latin music scene with artists like Bad Bunny and Mike Towers and others. The salsa music industry with artists like Mark Anthony is thriving. It's a multi-million dollar industry. And Mark has an upcoming tour, and he's going to visit 50 countries. And he's going to be doing his concerts to reach those fans around the world that love salsa music. So I don't know if that's, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a son. My mom is going to be 100 years old.
And, great.
You know, my son is in the music industry. He's handling an artist right now called Ira Starr in the R&B scene. She's an Afrobeat artist. She's from Nigeria, and he's doing her radio promotions nationwide in the U.S. I'm very proud of him. And yes, that's kind of like a little snapshot of who I am.
Okay. Have you thought about doing any teaching? You have a wealth of knowledge. Have you thought about doing for people that want to get into the industry?
Absolutely. I'm, the type of person that I give it away. When people reach out to me, they can email me, eddierod213@gmail.com. That's right. Eddie, EDDIEROD, 213@gmail.com. Or they can reach me through Facebook or Twitter or through Instagram, Eddie Rodriguez, EDDIEROD213, or Eddie Rodriguez. Definitely reach me that way, and I will answer them. Or LinkedIn is a good one. Eddie Rodriguez, Latin Works Music, is my address on LinkedIn. So a lot of people reach out to me on LinkedIn, and yes, I'm available to help in any way I can.
And I know your time, you probably don't have a lot of time, but you can do like an online kind of class. Well, I'm quite sure people wouldn't mind paying something, for your time. Your knowledge is worth a lot, for people that's interested, especially the business part of that industry. That really needs to be known. And so you lived it. You've been in it all these years, and you just have a lot of knowledge, wisdom of the business. So that was just a little thought. Okay, Eddie.
That is a great thought. And yes, absolutely. One of the things that I tell young artists and, just talent, God-gifted talent, that it's a lot of work to make your mark. As a matter of fact, just getting to the status of emerging artists in the music industry is a 52. It's a 36 month minimum process that takes discipline, stamina, passion, and keeping your body, mind, and spirit healthy so that you can reach your goal. It's a lot of work. It's not just, hey, I'm going to the studio, put a record out, I'm going to sing, and they're going to put it on the radio. Even putting it on the radio. Putting it on the radio, you need big budgets today. There's a lot of competition. But if you find the right people and the people gravitate to you as a talent and want to support what you're doing, record deals are possible. today, the most important thing for any artist that's that wants to, any talent that wants to become an emerging artist, is to have a strong social media presence and sing on, you know, and post every day. You know, this, you know, the way that this works today is through algorithms. So when you sing something and it's in the right beat and it's in the right tempo and the specific genre, it will be picked up by other people that are also consuming that type of music. And, you know, people like you or they don't like you, or they follow you or they don't follow you, but you have to do it every day. It's not a once-in-a-while process. People think, oh, it's just once in a while. No, it's every single day. And if people have that kind of
discipline,
attitude, it's all about the attitude to what they have to do and take the advice from people that have been there and have seen it and have done it with other people, then they have a shot. If not, then, you know, they can sing at home and sing to their family. But as far as the business of music takes investments. And it's because there's so much competition out there, and we have an entire planet. We have, you know, billions of music consumers on the planet, and they don't necessarily all have to be where you live. Now, people all over the world. So, yes, I love the idea, and yes, at some point when I'm not working on a project, I'll think of doing that. But right now, let's listen to some more music of the Quincy Jones of Latin music. Quincy's still alive. Louis Ramirez is gone, but he was so incredible as a record producer, as an arranger, as a songwriter, as a composer, as a vibraphonist, and, you know, it's funny because he didn't speak to anyone in Spanish. He spoke to everyone in English. He was raised in New York City and produced a lot of the big hits of Latin music that are, you know, available today on any streaming platform that you have access to. So let's listen to some more Louis Ramirez and Rey de la Paz.
All righty.
Aquella noche un vagabundo cambió tu risa en amargura y sin permiso entró en tu mundo para robarte la ternura. Y desde entonces me condenó a que no vuelvas a ser mía, a estar perdida entre mis sueños, a que me niegues cada día. Soy el ladrón de tu amor, tu mal recuerdo. Soy el nombre que no quieres mencionar. Y al saber de tu desprecio siento miedo que nunca, nunca me puedas perdonar. Apréndete eso, que quien te hace llorar es quien te ama, que quien te hace llorar es quien te ama.
Quien te ama. en mi soledad de sueño. Y por las noches yo te invento, de tu castigo soy el dueño. Porque tu odio es lo que encuentro. Cuando me vaya, que aunque te duela más, aprende de esto, que quien te hace llorar es quien te ama, que quien te hace llorar es quien te ama. Yeah.
cuando anoche se sigue siendo mi alegría, tu presencia, vida mía. Guardo la prisa de llegar hasta tu casa. Si no has llamado, me pregunto, ¿qué le pasa? Todavía, vida mía, todavía. Guardo un beso y un suspiro para darte. Si me faltas, no me canso de extrañarte. Todavía, vida mía, todavía, quiero ver llegar al fin la primavera, para darte de tus flores la primera, todavía, vida mía.
I know different countries have their different styles of music. Is it hard to break into, you know, different countries and America? How does that work when you're dealing on an international level?
Well, it's interesting because New York has been, and Puerto Rico in particular, have been for tropical Latin music and even for Latin urban music, the hot spots, you know, where the talent has emerged, you know, to entertain audiences around the world. You know, as you know, people love to listen to this music. You know, people like myself feel the music, feel it when a musician has a solo and is improvising. All of these things are coming from their soul. You know, it's not coming from written notes. The inspirations that they have documented on these recordings are the same way with the Latin tropical singers, not so much the urban reggaeton and trap music that we're listening to today. More of the Latin tropical salsa music artists and performances and recording, there will be a space to you know, within the track where the artist or the singer can improvise. And once again, those improvisations are like their solos are inspired by, they come from the soul, you know, they come from, they're not written down, you know, they come from what comes to them at that moment. And you hear it in the music on the, you know, Louis Ramirez was a vibraphonist and a percussionist, was able to do that. You heard him, you know, doing a cha-cha, kind of like an instrumental tune at one point. And then, you know, this tune here, he added a little bit of spice, so to speak, and, you know, the changes, rhythmic changes within this particular composition, which is heard with Ray de la Paz on vocals, was something that the chord changes were incredible. So, you know, people that love to listen to Latin music, people that love to dance Latin music, today they call that Latin music salsa. You could call it music from Mexico, regional Mexican. It's a genre within itself, very important part of the U.S. Latin market. Obviously, Mexico is right next to us, so there's a lot of Mexican immigrants and people of Mexican heritage in the U.S., and they gravitate to the music of their country. So regional Mexican music is actually a bigger, has a larger audience than the tropical salsa audience. However, today, the tropical Latin urban audience has grown to the point where some of the videos that are released by these artists, the most important one coming out of Puerto Rico right now, his name is Bad Bunny, have billions of views of their videos. All their concerts are sold out. You know, as a matter of fact, just in Puerto Rico recently, Bad Bunny had a concert, and there were so many people outside trying to go to the show and buy tickets that he had to do two shows, stadium shows, talking about 30,000-40,000 okay. people in one night. So. You know,
yeah.
Well, the Latin urban market has grown wide because it targets the youth. However, in places like Peru and Colombia, Ecuador,
mm-hmm.
The youth love to dance in couples. And so you
okay.
have a strong presence of this music today that we're listening to that kids are dancing to. However, in the United States, this genre is not played consistently on any of the Spanish language radio networks or on television, so that you know, Land Urban has taken like the front, you know, in the front row, and
okay.
Salsa is in the second row. But as far as the feeling, you know, we have in Colombia, they're known for the cumbia. You know, Mexico, they're known for ranchera and norteño. In Spain, they're known, and, you know, we have pop music, pop musicians coming from the Dominican Republic that, you know, sell out concerts, you know, that have been around for years. And they've opened the door for other talent, you know, to fill that void when they're now no longer touring and you know, reaching those fans of this particular music in other countries. So yes, you know, Dominican Republic, they say, oh, it's merengue and bachata. You know, Puerto Rico, oh yeah, it's salsa and something else. Now they say Puerto Rico is reggaeton, is Latin urban. So that even on, you know, radio in Puerto Rico, the Latin urban music has taken the lead, and that's the music in demand today in Puerto Rico and a lot around the world. So New York, you know, the people always in the 1960s, the Latin big band, you know, people used to go Tito Puente, Machito, Tito Rodriguez, rest in peace, all these great artists used to have regular nights in a club. It was 20, 16 piece orchestras, 21 piece orchestras. What's interesting is that big band era started to fade away. In the 19, so they say, oh, Latin music is dead. Okay. Oh, this tropical Latin music is dead. So what, a gentleman did. He was from an Italian from Brooklyn by the late Jerry Masucci and the late Johnny Pacheco from the Dominican Republic. Johnny Pacheco was a musician. Jerry Masucci, he was a former policeman in NYPD and became a lawyer and then became a businessman. And what he started to do was he started to find young talent and use a smaller group, you know, in other words, instead of 21 pieces or 18 pieces, you know, use maybe 12 pieces. And, you know, he started to sign young and upcoming talent that was the lead singers of other bands, and he created the Fania Records label. That was in 1968. And that defined the salsa music, you know, the danceable new salsa music from that time all the way through the 70s. What he was smart enough to do was acquire all of the other tropical salsa independent labels and made them a part of Fania. And he built the catalog. I don't know, maybe 10,000 songs or more. He did a few movies, and that catalog has been sold, from what I know, two times. In other words, it made his money back when it was, you know, when that was Terry was alive, and Johnny.
Okay.
And then that it was acquired by a group that re-released, they digitized all that music, re-released it. And after they digitized it, they sold it to Universal Music. This is part now. All the labels that were under the Fania, you know, they were imprints for Fania Records, are mostly all owned today by Universal Music Group. Universal Music Group owns it, but they don't have any new salsa artists. They're not investing in new tropical salsa artists. They're investing in tropical Latin urban artists and the big budgets that are necessary in order to brand, you know, market, you know, promote, tour, and distribute, you know, new releases is expensive. And, you know, they'd rather put that in something that they believe that is more
get
oriented to the younger demographic. They say, oh, this is for the older people, salsa. But it's not true, you know. You can go to any dance studio in the U.S. or anywhere in the world, and they will teach you salsa. They will teach you jazz. They will teach you tango. Not tango so much, but the foxtrot, I guess, you know, whatever. But salsa is on that category, and, you know, so these artists have toured the world, some of them, for the last 60 years, and they're still around today, like Gran Combo, you know, to name one of them, Oscar De Leon. He's from Venezuela, a great singer. Tours the world, you know, these people came from humble beginnings and now are rich and famous. And it was all timing, and it was all, you know, the passion that they put into their work and having the faith that they were going to reach, you know, that goal to become an international music artist. So, yes, you know, this is, it's different around the world. In places like Honduras, they have punta. You know, the places like you know, Venezuela, they have, you know, a different type of folkloric music. But salsa comes out of Venezuela too. But the only place where tropical salsa artists are launched and have been successful has been out of New York City. And out of what's incredible.
Okay.
So I'd like to talk about Lou Ramirez after we play a few more tips. And just once again, thank you for, and thank the audience. You know, we do this show live. It's unscripted.
Right.
For an audience, for the listening and dancing pleasure. Some people like to dance when they hear this music of the audience of Truth to Power and whatever other platforms, you know, we reached.
Mm-hmm.
The part of educating and entertaining is also a goal. Doing a show like this as a public service, we're not paid to do this. We do this out of our love of the music and the experience of documenting something right now so that we have it for posterity. Once again, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please send your comments to us. Beverly?
Yes. Okay.
Anything you want to say?
The call in number is 323-642-1586. If you want to talk to Eddie, this is a person that has been in the music industry for years, a lot of knowledge and wisdom. So you can call in, ask the question or comment. So we're going to get back to the music.
Con este ritmo de salsa. silencio se marchó sin contestar. Y comprendí aquella noche que ya nunca jamás olvidaría tu querer. Paula C., la madrugada me envolvió en su oscuridad. Y aunque parezca raro, me hizo ver con más claridad lo que es amar a una mujer. Y a tu regreso de nuevo aquel beso me hizo vibrar. Y así volví a soñar, y así volví a cantar. Y con el llanto volviste temblando y te oí murmurar que yo era todo para ti y nada más. Paula C., hoy la distancia nuevamente entre los dos es la que anima y me inspira por ti esta canción a la que me entregó su amor a Paula C., a la que me entregó su amor a Paula C. A ver si la encuentro asomada al balcón.
Oye, qué triste quedé cuando se fue Paula C.
De buscar por el barrio me cansé, busca, busca y nunca la hallé.
Oye, qué triste quedé cuando se fue Paula C.
Pero qué triste, triste quedé cuando se fue Paula C.
Oye, qué triste quedé cuando se fue Paula C.
Tristeza, veces desde lejos para no perder la fe.
Oye,
thank you.
are listening to a legend and Latin salsa music with Eddie Rodriguez, A South Bronx Tale. And thank you again, Eddie Rodriguez, for sharing the music with us and your information.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I believe that what I was taught by the late, great Tito Puente applies today, and it always applies when it comes to music. You either feel it or you don't, you know. And as you just heard with some of these recordings, we have musicians, just like I told you, they're not reading music. They have the composition written, obviously, of the instrumental parts they have to play. The piano, the rhythm section, the brass section, the singing, like I told you, has a space, to do solos, and that's improvisation. It comes out of the singer's head. The same thing with the trombones and with the trumpets and with the saxophones, and they're given their moment in the recording to interpret the music in a way that comes from spontaneous from their head. It comes through and touches the people that are listening to it. And this experience is best live. because the energy, the there is no stress. There is no, unless you're behind the scenes and dealing with a situation with a promoter that doesn't have the money to pay for the band, and all of a sudden you're trying to tell them, look, this band, I'm going to stop them right now. If you don't come up with this money, they're not going to leave it. They expect to get paid. Usually the way you only work with people that are bona fide, in terms of, their financial and their business practices. But every once in a while, you'll get someone from maybe a Latin organization or whatever, and trying to do something for the community. Or let's say just for a discounted rate, to have a performance so they can raise funds or whatever it is for their organization.
Right.
The rule is they pay you 50%, and then they pay you 50% when you arrive. Yeah, and so with the 50%,
so they pay you before you go on, right? So you get the musicians get their whole amount.
Unless it's a bona fide. That they pay you by check, at the end of the show. And you have the funds already, you have the funds to be able to pay everyone in cash. And that's how the business used to be for years. Now it's different. Mm-hmm. Now the musicians have to have a 1099, they have to pay the taxes. It's different now, so we pay people by check. And they deposit the checks, and now we can even do better. We have the money in the account. We could send them the money via Venmo, some PayPal, whatever way they want the money. So they have it there before they even perform. And so that used to be a joke. Well, you can't play musicians. You can't pay the musicians before the show because then they're not going to do a good show. And it's really interesting that I found it to be the opposite. When you pay the musician before the show, they know that money's in the bank. They are happy.
They're ready to give it their all.
One thing to worry about, just focus on their performance, doing their job, whatever it is. And so that's been the case with Latin music. Sometimes people abscond with the money, before the end of that. I mean, there's been so many things that have happened to me in my career. That I could write a book about them. But right now, we want to talk about Louis Ramirez. The music you're playing tonight, you know, for the listening and dancing pleasure of the your audience, and now, you know, for weeks now we've been doing this, South Bronx Tale by Eddie Rodriguez. You know, now we're getting into different areas, talking about individuals. I want to tell you, just take a moment to read you what's on Louis Ramirez's bio. Louis Ramirez is an American boogaloo, salsa, and Latin jazz percussionist, vibraphonist, band leader, and composer. He co-wrote with Johnny Pacheco the 1961 hit El Guiro de Macorina, which was a big hit at that time. He has been called the Quincy Jones of salsa music. Louis Ramirez was born February 24th, 1938, and went to the big band in the sky on June 7th, 1993. I remember hearing the news when they told me that Louis Ramirez had passed. I was in Los Angeles working for the record label that he was signed to, RMM Records. I was the head of the West Coast operations for RMM, owned by Ralph Macchio, the late, great Ralph Macchio. And I did a tour with him. We visited, you know, the media that was available to me, radio, print, television, event. We did an event. And so by the end of that tour, you know, he's on his way back home, and he said, "Man, you really worked us hard, because I had them up in the morning early, and you know, it was a stamina was needed." And what happened was that posed a question to me, very interesting. He said, "Man, you did a good job here." Gave me some props, and then he wanted to know what was my goal in the Latin music industry. And I told him, you know, I see myself in the recording studio, you know, finding those musicians and working with them and recording, you know, great music and releasing it. And I see myself doing that. He said, "Have you ever done it before?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, it's not that hard." You know, he was a staff producer for Fania Records. This guy was producing records every day. So, he gave me some steps to follow. And in 1995, I produced my first album with the late, great Bebo Valdez and his son Chucho Valdez and the incredible saxophonist from Cuba, all three of them from Cuba, Mr. Paquito D. Rivera. And, you know, following his advice. And from there, I did a lot more projects. Some as a co-producer, as an associate producer, and worked on Tito Puente, may he rest in peace, and Eddie Palmieri, Tito Puente's last album, and a collaboration with the great pianist legend, Mr. Eddie Palmieri, called Masterpiece. And after that, I haven't done anything. That was in 2020. We finished that. Then he passed away. So we were going to go on a tour. You know, that's the thing to do when you record a great album. Then you do a promotional tour, and you do 20 cities, you know, maybe, you know, 3-month, 4-month tour. And I was so looking forward to that. But he passed away. You know, but once again, all I did was follow the same advice that the late, great Louis Ramirez gave me back in 1992 in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So, you know, he was so incredible. Some of the composition that we heard tonight, you know, the last one we heard was so interesting because that was the great Panamanian superstar legend himself, Mr. Ruben Blades. Ruben wrote that song, but Louis Ramirez arranged that. He played vibraphones on it, and he, you heard the arrangement that had in a subtle way. Some people may pay attention to it or not, but in a subtle way, he introduced strings to salsa music. It was already coming into fashion, so to speak, And Fania became a label that released a, if you love Vian Mays and salsa music, look for the early Fania All-Stars recordings. They have some incredible string arrangements. And obviously the late, great Larry Harlow a recording called Homie, H-O-M-M-Y. So I was blessed to meet people like Louis Ramirez during my career, you know, my life. And I feel very fortunate to be able to do this community service program with you to educate and entertain about some of these people that they would probably never hear about anywhere else except on
Yes, and I'm glad that you introduced me to this music, too, and I'm quite sure others also. So what do you see the change in the salsa today? Like you say, you added the strings to it. Do you see any change today?
You know, people like Mark Anthony, you know, Mark Anthony started in the 1990s. He's a good reference because he's a superstar in Latin music. But the other ones you don't know about, they're not in the English language media like Gilberto Santa Rosa or Victor Manuel or La India or El Gran Combo or, you know, that's been around for 65 years. Incredible. From Puerto Rico and Sonora Ponceña. These are, you know, artists that are touring the world still today. And people that paved the way for them were people like Fito Puente and Hector Lavoe and the Fania. Obviously, Fania and its eight, they had the Fania All-Stars. They toured the world a few times. They had all the band leaders of the bands that they had contracts with. And the band leaders were not only band leaders, but and the owner of the band, but also musicians and arrangers and composers, and there was a camaraderie. And Louis was part of that, you know, during that the heyday when Fania was, he was there. And he was there before. He was doing things with Allegra Records, which was one of the first record labels that I remember that put out salsa music, what we call salsa. They just called it dance music back then, you know, Latin music. The dance, and it was referred to as guaguancó, which was something, the rhythm that came out of Cuba that people say, well, you know, salsa was, that was the foundation of salsa. But salsa was, the reason they called it salsa, because Gary Masucci not only had Puerto Ricans on his label, he had, you know, they worked in different areas of the operation. But, you know, some of his studio engineers were Jewish. Some of his musicians, like even, you know, Larry Harlow is Larry Kahn, you know, may rest in peace. He was Jewish. You know, the trombonist that you hear on a lot of these recordings, his name is Barry Rogers, also Jewish. You know, incredible talent. And Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and that New York intensity, that's what I want to say, at that time with music. And it was, and then when they said that was it, RMM Records came in, and they started doing the same thing Fania did. Back in the late 60s and 70s, and then early late 88, I remember, you know, when Ralph mentioned to me that he was going to start his label. We were in Puerto Rico, and he told me about it. You know, he knew that I was working in Los Angeles, working for an independent movie studio, doing their national distribution. And before that, I worked for a conglomerate out of Mexico called Televisa. And I used to travel all over the country doing sales and distribution of the content, videos, Spanish movies on video, when videos first came out.
Okay.
And so he told me, he said, hey, you know, I'm going to do, for the first time, you know, an artist wants me to invest on finishing a recording. I think I'm going to start a record label. say, hey, that's great, you know. You said, if you want to join me, I'll pay you 5 cents a record. 5 cents a record. I said, I got to think about that. You know, but if I would have taken that offer and had it with a lawyer to sign the agreement, I would have made a lot of nickels, you know, because that label ended up getting sold for, I had an offer for $30 million, and there was a lawsuit against the record label. I was not with the label at the time, and they lost the case, and the company went bankrupt. And the same people that offered $30 million, Universal Music, acquired that catalog back in 1996, bought that catalog for $19 million, and they own that catalog today. And they're still making money. And the artists are still touring that were signed back in the 90s, the salsa artists. They're still touring the world. So today, we need a salsa label of the 2020s. And, you know, to once again bring out the youth, you know, with young singers, you know, 18 years old, 18 years old, musicians, you know, arrangers, you know, 20 years old, 21 years old, you know, find them and record them and then invest in the marketing and promotions and the tour support for them to give them at least a good start, you know. At the end, you know, the consumer is the one that decides. But if you don't take these steps, the consumer will be an unknown. And the objective is for an artist from an unknown to become a known. And then you have your fan base. So with that in mind, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. We have some more music for you. Beverly, next week we're going to spotlight another legend by the name of Ray Barretto, rest in peace. Include a conversation with one of the former members of the Young Lords movement in the out of New York City, out of Harlem. And he wants to, you know, have a discussion about the diaspora, the Puerto Rican diaspora of New York City at that time, and the racism and the corruption in the police department and the mayor's office and the government entirely at that time, the slum lords, the mafia, the mob, what was happening in the streets, the DEA, how they were infiltrating groups like salsa groups to try to find out if there was a big ring or some kind of thing going on, and setting up the some artists to become, you know, criminals, you know, from something that they were doing in the nightclub, you know, whatever drugs, mostly cocaine, and people infiltrated, you know, the backstage areas and given the artists this and that for years, and then turned out to be, you know, agents to arrest them for some kind of a crime. And so, you know, that happened. And then the slumlords and the Jewish mafia and the Italian mafia, you know, it was just, you know, an incredible thing happening at that whole time, you know, that we want to bring to you know, to the audience as once again something to learn about. You know, it happened to us. I was there, and the people that were involved are the ones that are telling their story. So yeah, we want to remind that next week, Truth to Power, 9 to 11
p.m. Okay, all right.
Eastern time with your host Beverly D, and me, your guest and your host co-host. Eddie Rodriguez.
Yes.
This is a South Bronx tale, and we're going to do a lot more things throughout the year, and we want to thank you for tuning in.
Yes, and that's going to be interesting, too, because, you know, blacks, we thought that it was just only happening to us, or some of us did. So, you know, this is letting them know that it wasn't just us going through this. You know, your community was going through the same thing that we were going through, too. So that should be interesting.
Yeah. And Black Panther Party, believe it or not, and Martin Luther King had a lot to do with the creation of an organization like the Young Lords to fight injustice and racism and prejudice and, you know, try to fight for these areas in New York City were slums. I mean, the sanitation didn't even come around. I mean, the slum lords wouldn't even heat some of the buildings in the winter, you know. Some of the slum lords burned these buildings so they could get the money for the insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I was there. I saw it. It was, it did happen. And we want to talk about that and see if we get any comments from people that, also shared the same experience and want to participate in the show. So, yeah, thank you, Beverly, for being.
Okay.
With your time,
and thank
once
you
again
for giving us your time. and before we leave, we're going to go out with some music. But how can people get in contact with you again?
Okay, it's very easy. You know, just send me an email or go to LinkedIn. In LinkedIn, you go to Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, Rodriguez, Latin Works Music, okay? L-A-T-I-N, Works, W-O-R-K-S, Music, M-U-S-I-C. And via email, anything you want me to read and get back to you, it's E-D-D-I-E-R-O-D, Eddie Rod, and the number 213 at gmail.com, Eddie Rod 213 at gmail.com.
All right. Well, thank you again, Eddie Rodriguez. Appreciate you taking your time, your energy. And look forward to talking with you and the guests next week. Better
My
love.
Pleasure. Better love.
Okay.
recorre el cuerpo entero.
Qué bonito es el amor.
Y el querer cuando te quieren, en todo ves alegría, y lo imposible se puede.
Qué bonito es el amor.
Porque acaba con la pena, cosa rica, cosa buena.
Aquella noche un vagabundo cambió tu risa en amargura y sin permiso entró en tu mundo para robarte la ternura. Y desde entonces me condenó a que no vuelvas a ser mía, a estar perdida entre mis sueños, a que me niegues cada día. Soy el ladrón.
aunque te duela más, aprende de eso, que quien te hace llorar es quien te ama, que quien te hace llorar.
Suponer. Yo nunca entendí. Peace.